Welcome everyone to our third gate, fifth chakra, Libra morning star, Meta Goddess teleclass. Woohoo! Oh, so great to be at my favorite gate, because of course I'm an evening star throat chakra, so I always love the opportunity to work with the throat chakra whenever it comes around. And of course this chakra gate is exceptionally important for clearing up any issues we may still have lingering around our inner and outer communication, how we speak into what we have to say, how we listen to others. We're going to talk quite a bit about that as we go along today. And I also will just say, over the last 5 years, because it's now been almost exactly 5 years since we did our first Venus Alchemy class, February 2014. Yeah. Whoa, that time went by so fast. But each of these gates, you know, especially when we've gone through the throat chakra, it's really helped me improve my communication skills and my ability to check in and communicate more skillfully. And I just imagine for those who've been with us for more than one, more than one of you, probably has found that to be true too. And Tammy, I know you and I've talked about this a lot, so we both have felt that, yeah. Absolutely. So I'm just going to share a really quick little story that I have been co-facilitating this priestess process. And in the last couple of months, there was a big shadow that came to light around someone who was communicating, not so consciously, very harshly, kind of in a judgmental sort of way. I don't think that was what she intended necessarily consciously, but that was the way it was taken. And so that just brought up a lot of hurt feelings, and this was triggering people into old trauma and all kinds of stuff. It was ultimately a good thing, but you know, several of the women jumped to conclusions about what was being said. That there was a lot of shaming of women who are like, this one woman feeling like she was kind of superior to everybody because she wasn't vulnerable, and she saw vulnerability as a, you know, weakness rather than seeing the strength and courage it takes to be vulnerable. And so there were all these assumptions and all this stuff that came up, and what that inspired me to post the four agreements that's on the class page. So if you haven't scrolled down to the bottom, you'll see that there. And the reminder, you know, as I was listening to all this going on, I was like, okay, so the reminder, our opportunity is to not take it personally. Not that I have mastered that, because I still take things very personally at times, but it's a practice. And also, so if we're not taking it personally, the next one is not to make assumptions, because sometimes we assume that someone's saying something for a reason other than why they think they're saying it. And this is all about our ability to communicate, to listen, and what we say and how we say it. Because, of course, the first agreement is to speak with integrity or be impeccable with your words. So it's just all so good. So we'll talk a little bit more about all that, but I just wanted people to know that that's why that I posted that at the bottom of the page, so that we can all have that reminder as we go through this month. And, you know, we've had the eclipses, like a couple of weeks of intensity with the eclipses. We've had all the planets moving forward. And the eclipse window has completed, but we're still in all the planets moving forward. We'll talk a little more about that. But I just have to say that for me, and I'm imagining this is true for you too, Tammy, is that all these things that I have been encountering in this last few weeks has deepened my feeling of the great blessing we have been given in doing this descent journey together.
Absolutely.
That we are...
Yeah. I'd like to add something to that, which is just that.
That we are truly tapping into this exponential power. You know, like as we come together, it gets magnified by more than the number of us that are here, like exponentially, and it increases the power of our own personal journey as well as the collective journey. And that the last thing I'll say before I turn over to you, Tammy, to say something is, the wisdom that's being shared on the Facebook page is above and beyond. I mean, I just think it's grown in the last 5 years. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like, that's catapulting us yet to a yet higher octave of what's possible when we do this together. So just wanted to say that, and Tammy, feel free to add away.
Well, this is funny. That's what I was going to say, basically, is that, you know, not, and for those of you who aren't on Facebook, you know, I would say that at some level you're still benefiting from the quality of connection that's happening there, and please email us if you'd like us to post something on Facebook for you. But the conversation is, that's what I was going to say, is that it's just kind of blows my mind. I can't always keep up with all of it, but in one day, what I'm really moved by are the women who have been doing this for so long. I mean, everybody. And the women who've been doing this for so long who are holding space in such a powerful way that it's just, I mean, it's really amazing. It really models the Libra, you know, this the highest of the Libra archetype, I think. So that's what I was going to say, Kaylin. Just what you said.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, and also that I'm losing my voice, which is something that maybe some of you, it's kind of a funny thing that I don't, I won't say that any of us necessarily need to experience, but sometimes it's very, very literal. So as soon as we started, Kaylin and I, working with this throat chakra stuff, we kind of move into the energy a little bit before everybody else, and lo and behold, I lose my voice. So I get to literalize it, and that's okay because it helps me bring my attention to what it is that wants to be spoken. So, yeah, that's me.
Yes. Beautiful. Yeah, and we just will hold the intention that your voice holds out for the class.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Anyway, yeah, so for those of you who are on the live call with us, again, it's helpful to have the handouts or the PDF for the class on your computer, on your tablet, your mobile device, whatever it is that you use, so you can follow along with the visual images. And, of course, if you're listening on the replay, we recommend the same thing. And then the home play document has almost all of the, I think I got all the questions. I don't know. I think it's all there. It's all in the home play document, like 7 pages. So if you want to just print that out, that's helpful too. And then, we are very much intending that there will be time for, questions and comments at the end of the class, because of course this is the throat chakra. So we need to hear from as many of you who might have the courage to get on and share with us as possible. And again, you know, for those who maybe feel a little shy about that, we are happy to help you with that. But we would encourage you to, if you have anything to say, or maybe even push yourself a little bit to speak up into this, speak into something that's true for you at this time. It would be awesome, whether it's on Facebook or on the Q&A. So we're going to now begin inviting in sacred space, unless there's any other details I might have forgotten.
I don't think so, Tammy. Nope.
Okay. That's good for now. And if there is something, I'm sure we'll remember it later. Okay, so we're going to bring in the sacred space through the goddess prayers that we've been doing. And so as we're preparing to do this prayer, I just want to remind everybody that we are working with an initiatory cycle. If you have unexpected thoughts or feelings and experiences that are coming up for you, they can range from being wonderful and amazing and exciting and inspiring to really challenging. but this is just to know that it's whatever it is, it's perfect. No judgment. We're not judging good or bad. As we dive into the deeper distortions that we find at each chakra gate, and especially now we'll be focused on the throat chakra. And this can bring up physical and emotional issues. So letting go of judgment. And I think I said this the last class, it's the judgment-free zone, and really especially the ways we judge ourselves. So if you're noticing that you're in judgment of yourself, we invite you to just let that go as much as possible. And so whatever's happening in the context of this journey, it's a good thing. It brings awareness to whatever is most up for healing. And even if it's messy, even if it's uncomfortable, challenging, disruptive, that it is the gift of this time. And as I was thinking about this morning, I was remembering one of my favorite books by Ken Keyes, who wrote Handbook to Higher Consciousness. He also wrote a book called Prescriptions for Happiness. And the first prescription he has is to accept what is for now. And he goes on to say, you might not accept it a minute from now or 10 minutes from now or a day from now or down the road, but just accept it for now. And what happens when we can accept something, and it's from that place of acceptance, that literally things begin to change, even if it's only for a moment. And even if we can only do it for a moment, a few times a day or once a day or, you know, once a week, whatever it might be, that place of self-acceptance, even if it's just for a brief moment, it's miraculous, the transformation that it can activate and how it helps release the distortions that we maybe didn't even know we had. So just that piece. So let's just allow ourselves to notice the breath, just tuning into the breath. And at the throat chakra, it's always great to breathe into the back of the throat. So that draws your attention to your throat. And notice how breathing into the back of your throat feels. So maybe there's some fear or uncertainty or indecision or hesitation, or maybe you'll notice there's a growing sense of confidence and courage that is brewing in the back of your throat. So just notice and allow it to be whatever it is for you. And know that this is good information. Whatever you're noticing is good information for you and your relationship to any blocks you may have around a healthy expression of your throat chakra. So from this more centered, relaxed place, we're going to offer up the relational goddess prayer. And if you have the prayer handy, I encourage you to say it out loud here at the throat chakra. That further activates your own throat chakra. So here we go. Wondrous goddess, wondrous conscious co-creative relational goddess, committed to restoring our relationship with earth and her magic. You who open the ways through the power of your voice, guide me to release all the ways I'm critical of myself and others, releasing all rigid thoughts and beliefs that hold me back from speaking up and speaking into what is true for me. Speaking in ways that promote more authentic connection. Help me release all blocks around knowing when to speak and when to deeply, actively listen, or when it's best to simply let go. Help me release fear of offending or upsetting others, of being abandoned, rejected, blamed, or shamed, preventing me from courageously taking responsibility for all that I say and do. O mighty goddess of great strength and inspired resolve, thank you for guiding me to release all the ways I act and speak out of fear. Help me to have the courage to listen to my knowing and act on what I know is true for me, to be more discerning and forthright with kindness and compassion for myself and others. Help me to trust myself in creating conscious, creative, and collaborative relationships, releasing all the blocks preventing me from skillfully using my words to invoke and activate what is mine to do and say for the benefit of all life everywhere. It is done, it is so, and so it is. With gratitude, we give thanks for this sacred space that exists now and whenever this recording is being listened to. Blessed be.
Thank you, beautiful. Thank you, Caitlin, for bringing us into that place, and also, gratitude again for just your reminders about meeting everything in acceptance. It's so powerful. So today we're going to be working with, of course, again, the visual sky magic, and it's pretty spectacular. It has been, of course, as we know, the incredible eclipse and the Venus-Jupiter activation and everything leading up to that with Antares. Morning sky, night sky have been equally kind of incredible. So this month is going to just be a continuation of that. And then more about Libra and what it means specifically to work with Libra at the throat chakra. And I do actually want to point out, I think that most of you all know that this already, but that we, of course, always do a video to accompany this this live call. And so on that video about the throat chakra, it's not about Libra at all. It's just about the throat chakra and many, many practices. So if you haven't done that yet, really recommending that you do that. I also just briefly, before I continue going through this list, want to say that there have been a few people that I've who have said that it's a little confusing knowing how to access each of the different gates. And so when you're on the class page, just to know that, at this point, you just go for each of those chakra buttons and you click on that. And then there's an individual page for each of the chakras. So I think most of you know that, but a few of you have said that. So I just wanted to briefly say, if you've had trouble navigating, that's how you do it. Okay, so anyway, so we're going to be talking more about Libra and how that relates to the throat chakra tonight, and then facing fears around speaking and how it is that we might really encounter fears. How has the relational goddess encountered these fears of speaking her truth? And then we'll go through home play resources and then do the Venus temple and the sky temple journey and the Q&A. So let's begin.
Yay. And there was something I we're going to talk about this more, but I just wanted to say that when we're speaking prayers to the goddess, to the relational goddess, it's to she who is within us, she who is us. So we'll talk more about that as we go, but just so that you know that that's who we're speaking to there. And she exists within us regardless of whether we're male or female or what gender we identify with, whatever that's about, because we all have that divine essence within us. So when we go to slide number 4, and I think I had the date on here at some point, and somehow it disappeared. I don't know how that. It's black instead of white. So sorry about that. I maybe can fix that and re-upload it to the thing. But basically, January 30th, the slide number 4 is January 30th around 6:30 a.m. And where the moon is, where Jupiter is, where Venus is, and if you've been watching this in the morning sky, it's been pretty stunning to see how Venus and Jupiter have been together with Antares, and then how the moon is going to come down by January 30th. It's going to be coming in pretty close, but by January 31st, when we go to slide number 5, you'll see that the moon is literally going to occult Venus, meaning that in many places, and I listed the places where it's seen, we're not really going to see it in the U.S. if you're here, but if you happen to be in South Central America, Northwest South America, the Galapagos Islands, East Micronesia or Polynesia, except for Hawaii, you will see this occultation. And if you've never seen one, they're so, and you can see one, it's so spectacular to see, because they're, especially Venus, I mean, she's just like the spotlight in the sky, and then the moon comes across her, she disappears for an hour or so and then reappears on the other side of the moon. Pretty a spectacular thing to see, and it's very similar to the energy of an eclipse. So it's accelerating, magnifying, activating, creating a portal to these mysteries, you know, to the throat chakra mysteries. So it's like this amazing, powerful possibility that we can tune into. And this, I think it's, I can't remember, I'd have to look again, but I think this is the only occultation of the moon over Venus this year. So is there anything you wanted to add about that, Tammy?
No, just that it's pretty interesting that we're going to have this right after the eclipse season, because, of course, it's the same energies. As you've said, we've got a Venus eclipse happening just after it. So continuation of this really profound energy.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, we're not done yet. We're still riding, the wave of that. And so and one of the things we could say about this is that it's always important to be conscious of what you're saying. It's super important when there's this kind of an activation going on to be conscious of what you're saying and intending, because that is, you know, it's like that seed point, that new moon point, that powerful intentional portal that's happening. So you really want to be conscious of what it is you're thinking in this at this time during this window of Venus and the moon, and especially on the January 31st, on the day of the occultation. So, and then if you go to slide number 7, there's the moon is now below Venus and Jupiter on its way. It's sitting like pretty much between Venus and Saturn. And part of what's going to happen this month is Venus is going to catch up to Saturn and Pluto as part of this gate. So if we think about Saturn, one of the ways we could look at that, it's the grandmothers, the circle of grandmothers, the wise energy that's connected with that, and how are we creating new ways, new forms of communication that where we can really be heard and where we can really hear what others have to say and have that better communication thing going on. And Pluto, where the shadow will come to light, and with the purpose of empowering us so that we can speak more honestly and truthfully. And we're going to share a little bit more about that as we get into that piece of it. But just so you know that Saturn and Pluto are here this month to help support that piece as well. So on slide number 8, on February 15th, that's when Saturn and Venus are catching up to each other. And you can see Pluto, it's like Saturn or Venus is kind of sitting between them and on that particular sky map. And then if you go to the next slide, number 9, you'll see how Earth sky put this together and how Jupiter is off above and kind of off to the right if you're looking kind of south east in the morning sky. And you'll see bright Venus with Saturn. And we this last month, we've been able to see Venus with Jupiter. So that's been pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Now we get to see it with Saturn. And go ahead.
Go ahead. Just with Saturn and Venus, one of the things about Saturn that's been really interesting, I think, to observe is that over the last, I can't remember which date it was, but the sun Saturn has been with the sun for a period of time, and I think, I can't remember when it actually appeared now as a morning star, but
it's last month.
Okay, yeah. So it has been in great mystery. It's been in its own, Saturn in Capricorn has been kind of in its own kind of death rebirth in a way, and so as it meets with Venus now, it's also this kind of transformed Capricorn energy. So I think that's kind of interesting as well.
Yes, absolutely. And so on slide number 10, this was spoken about probably more on the Facebook page, a little bit in the class last month, but Saturn is and Venus will be conjunct very close to the star Vega. And that's the vulture star. There's an article. I'll make sure that article that talks about more about Vega, but Vega was also the former pole star. It's not close to the ecliptic, but it was a super important star to the ancients. 13,000 years ago, it was the star that marked north in the northern hemisphere. It is located in the summer triangle, along with two other stars, Altair, the eye of the eagle, and Deneb in the tail of the swan, Cygnus the swan. And those, and Cygnus is a lot, there's books written about the importance of Cygnus. The summer triangle, literally in Scotland, there's a stone circle where they have three stones in the center of the circle that are in this exact configuration. So they were basically mirroring, the summer triangle. So Vega is a very important star, and to have Saturn can only be here every 30 years, and Venus could be with Saturn here only every 30 years at this gate, at the throat chakra. It wouldn't even necessarily be this gate in 30 years from now. So pretty spectacular piece to just be aware of and tuned into. And the vulture, go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, just to say that, like you said, it's not, the ecliptic is the line that the sun, the moon, and the planets can actually be right on. They can pass right along that. And so, but Vega, the ancients would have actually said that at this degree that it's conjunct in a way, or it's activating Vega because it has to do with the way that that star and Saturn and Venus appear in the sky. Even though they're not right next to each other, there's still an activation that happens.
Right, and this is because Vega was one of the Bohemian stars, or the stars of the ancient alchemists, that when a planet was close to that star, was more powerfully activated, and there are certain herbs and crystals and different things. They would make talismans and intentions and do healing ceremonies and that kind of thing associated with specific stars, and Vega was one of them. So that's another reason why just bringing our awareness to that and tuning into that can be really helpful while we're connecting with us. So, yeah. And of course, literally not that close to the ecliptic. But then in, on slide number 11, basically Pluto is below Venus. Saturn will be above Venus. So Venus sitting between Saturn and Pluto, but their exact conjunction is on the 22nd of February. Not quite as close to Vega, but Saturn's still hanging out with Vega. and Pluto being about dismantling or dying too is not unlike the Venus journey and her descent. When she's descending into the underworld, she is dying to who she has believed herself to be so she can be who she really is, because all that has to die and go away. And so when you add Pluto to that at the throat chakra, it's like, what are we dying to? The ways of communication, the ways we speak to ourselves, you know, what's that mental dialogue that we have with ourselves, and the ways we speak to others about ourselves. All of these things are very much up for, you know, having a light shown on them so they can be transmuted and transformed, because that's really what Pluto does. So anything else about that, Tammy?
No, I just love how positively it is that you are bringing this all forward, because I think that it's really potent medicine. And so, again, just to remember a little later into the month that if you're having some intensity around these issues of speaking your voice and the blocks around it, that the Saturn aspect can actually kind of can bring in a little bit more of that inner judge. And but then also if we work with it constructively as this grandmother energy, then it can be a helpful, the Saturn in a constructive way can help us to actually see it more clearly, work with it more constructively, make a conscious choice to move beyond. And then the Pluto part can, as Kaylin, I'm loving how you're saying it, it can really help us to transform that. It can help us to face our fears. And when we move beyond it and Pluto is present, it's tremendously empowering. So there can be some intensity around all of this, but really awesome that we also have the benefit of these great energies and these great teachers to support us. So thanks, Kaylin, for the positive dimension.
Right. Well, I mean, it does require that we face our fears, and that is not easy, and that takes courage to do that. So it's not easy, but it is so worth it when you do, when you get to the other side of that, when it has been transmuted and transformed, because then it's not holding you back. It's not the thing that's keeping you. It's not from doing it or being disempowered, because you've been willing. So it's having that willingness to go towards it rather than run from it. So, yeah. I actually, just quickly, my little short, because I have throat chakra piece where I was born, that I was very much afraid to speak to people. And a lot of that came from my conditioning as a child and how I was treated when I did speak up. I was just telling Tammy that earlier, actually, today. And so I had to keep facing that fear. And it took years, because I was absolutely terrified. And literally, I had an experience this year where I feel pretty comfortable doing it now, but I was in front of 70 people instead of 30 people, and I noticed I had an awful lot of fear and that was activated. And I was like, whoa, I haven't felt that in a long time. So nobody could tell. Nobody could know. Nobody knew, but I felt like my heart was going to pound out of my chest. So really encourage people to continue to face whatever your fears are, because if you do, it may take time, but you will get past it. You definitely will do it. It's not easy necessarily. Anyway, so and then, you know, as we have Venus just in the last you know, part of the sky where it's hanging out with Ophiuchus, and we had this conversation last month because, of course, Venus was passing through here. But the snake goddess, or the you know, the serpent bearer, could be feminine. And so I thought it would be fun to put in the images of the women holding the snakes, and especially the woman on the furthest right of the slide number 12. She's holding the snake in front of her. The Cretan snake goddess holds the snakes in each hand on either side of her. But if you notice in the slide below, I mean, in the picture below, Ophiuchus is like sitting on the snake. So that maybe the difference between the masculine and the feminine, I don't know. It's interesting just to see those depictions. But if we imagine that the Libra goddess is really partnering with her dreaming self for healing and insights, because that's really what this part of the sky represents, you know, for healing and insights and ways to better collaborate with all the aspects of who she is, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. What are your dreams? What are the messages for you at the throat chakra? And how can we heal that? So working with this particular part of the sky. And it's really amazing to see the scorpion. And of course, it's coming straight up. So that means that Ophiuchus is actually off to the left side of the scorpion in the morning. And I've been able to see serpents pretty clearly, the line of the snake pretty clearly beside the scorpion. And with Venus and Jupiter sitting between them, it's been pretty stunning. So another way to tune into that is to actually go visibly see it, if possible. So anything you want to add, Tammy?
Oh, just, you know, I do love that the snake goddess, I love that feeling that the snake goddess is also really activated. It just feels like it's a continuation in a strange way of, it's different, but it feels like a continuation of the Scorpio energy in some ways too. And I always kind of love that Sagittarius by and large is overlaid by Ophiuchus, much of it. And it just, to me, it does speak to the way that at this time in history that we have a dreaming component and a almost scorpionic life force component that can be tapped into in the sign of Sagittarius. I love always, of course, that we find our true voice by listening to our dreaming self. We find our true voice by tuning into that feminine wisdom and feminine knowledge that lives in the body that comes to us through our imaginal dream imagery. So, yeah, just I love that those mysteries also that you bring those forward.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you. So on slide number 13 is just a review. We talked about this last month of all the planets are moving forward until March 5th, and there'll be about a 21-day break while Mercury goes retrograde, and then it'll go, all the planets will start moving forward again for another 2 weeks-ish, so on March 28th. So, but at this throat chakra gate, everybody's moving forward, nobody's retrograde, and, you know, so the challenge can be there's such a push, such a movement, such an intensity for forward movement. There's not as much time to consider, to reflect, to review, you know, to do all those things that can happen when we've got retrograde planets. And just be aware. And we did have the eclipse energy that was an interesting piece to also integrate into all the planets moving forward in the last couple of weeks. And we're beyond that, but we will have the occultation of Venus on the 31st of January. So, and that, you know, so there's still things about this piece that is worth paying attention to. And I love this idea that because it's the Libra Meta Goddess, that if we imagine ourselves as moving forward together in conscious co-creation and collaboration, that is powerful. So we just maybe can ride that energy of all the planets moving in a forward direction as a way of really supporting one another more fully in this time of speaking up and reclaiming our voice, the healthy use of our voice. So anything else you want to say about that?
Oh, I just think that energy of everyone kind of working together and moving forward together it's a really exciting thing to consider right now. And even though if we look at the larger field, there's a lot that feels polarized, a lot that feels really intense, that in a way that polarization is a lot of extra like static and noise, but we could also tune into all the places where people are literally coming together around the things that are most essential right now. And so I think we can begin to really see where that's already literally happening around us, as well as inside of us, as well as between us in our communities and our closer relationships.
Beautiful. So part of the, you know, it's interesting because the throat isn't that far from the ears. Right? So listening and, you know, having healthy communication, it's not just what we're saying, it's how we're hearing what other people are saying. And I've been involved with another group that has been talking a lot about active listening. And so it just feels like this is some good reminders for us to tune into. And one of the things I've been trying to practice doing, like when I listen, like if I'm driving somewhere, that's pretty much the only time I listen to the news on the radio. And I hear certain things and I'm like trying to practice being in a neutral space and not reacting and whatever. It's a practice because most of the time I find myself going, are you kidding me? And noticing I'm like, whoa, I'm really, you know, I'm really not listening here because I'm just jumping into in with where I'm coming from. So it's a practice. But when you're one-on-one with a person, particularly, it can be really helpful if you're willing to hear what they have to say, even if you don't like it, or even if it's something that challenges you or triggers you. And I was able to have this experience where people were sharing about, and there was no heat in any of this, so they were just sharing about an experience they had, and then the other person would reflect back to them what they heard. And the gift of it was that when the person who was speaking heard the person who was listening share with them what they had heard, they felt heard. It's like it was such a gift. And that's when I was like, oh man, this is, you know, how many times have we said something and then we feel like we haven't been heard because somebody just comes in with their point of view and completely just runs right over everything we just said, and we know that basically they were just waiting to talk. And they weren't listening at all, or vice versa. Maybe we've done that to somebody, and I know I've done that. So it really begins with awareness, and if you can notice if you are really listening or if you're waiting to talk, and also notice if your response is more to try to help fix it, change it, or make it be different, or share your story, rather than just hearing what the other person has to say. And this also reminds me of how in conversations between men and women, at least in my relationships, I've had this experience where the man that I've been talking to, that I'm in relationship with, they just want to fix it. Like they're not really listening and they're not really acknowledging and validating the feelings that perhaps I'm having. I have to say my current husband, Peter, is really good at doing the listening and reflecting part and not feeling like he has to fix it. So that's been such a gift. But then I start noticing where I might want to do that for other people, like, ooh, let me just fix that for you. Like, oh no, maybe I just need to hear them and they work it out themselves. Like, so how do we hold that space for effective listening? And how does that then help build trust within yourself as well as with the others that you're working with and creating greater collaboration and all of that. So, you know, the gifts of it, as stated here, are about increasing our confidence, our self-esteem, creativity, happiness, and most importantly, connection, because the Libra goddess really loves to have that sense and a feeling of connection. So, so these are some practices that we can do this month and beyond. And there's some questions on slide number 15 that you might consider, or maybe it'll help inspire some questions that you might want to work with over this next month. And this idea of active listening, and I love how they broke it down in this meme here that's, you know, look interested, inquire with questions, stay on target, test understanding. When you're testing understanding, you're reflecting back. It's like, this is what I heard you say. And then the person can say back to you, okay, what I really meant was this, or yes, you got that right. That's, you know, that testing your understanding, evaluate the message, and then neutralize whatever feelings might be coming up for you is a big part of the active listening process. So so just quickly, I'll share what the questions are, and then you can tune into this in whatever way works for you. So in what ways can I further cultivate communication with others that is effective and supportive for all involved? What would it take for me to be more aware of my communication and listening skills and then to act upon that awareness to improve communication with others? How can I actively listen to what is going on around me to discern the messages that are available to me now? And how can I effectively share what is true for me in ways that are appropriate with compassion for myself and others? Anything you want to add, Tammy?
Yeah, I love the active listening aspect, and I love the question so much. And it occurs to me that it is a way to really be in strong connection with another person. And also that if you tend to be a person who listens more than you bring yourself into the room, that you might find that it's also equally important to pay attention to where you're in a relationship or where you're in a social situation, and you are spending all of your time kind of opening yourself to the experience of the other person, but maybe not so much sharing more of who you are and what your experience is. So on the other end of that, considering we're talking about Libra, there could be the need as well to just look at where you're at in the balance of things. And it's not even that it's one or the other. You know, I think any of us, even if we tend to be empaths who listen a lot, it could be that that's more passive rather than active. So active listening is bringing yourself into it. And again, I think that it could be that for some of us to challenge ourselves to make sure that we're bringing ourselves into the room and into the conversation could be part of what we see this month to really pay attention to. Are we doing that? And connected to that as well, I think something that was coming to mind as you were speaking, Kaylin, to me was that we might also pay attention to whether when we're speaking, are we speaking with the expectation that we will be heard, or are we speaking with the expectation that we won't be heard? And to really begin paying attention to how it is that we're speaking, what it is that we're sharing, and the quality of intention behind that. So that just occurs to me as some other added considerations in this really rich place of dialogue and listening and speaking and the voice as related to Libra. So,
yes, I just feel that's such an excellent, excellent point, because oftentimes we do have an expectation of how we want to be heard. And then if we feel like we're not being heard in that way, that colors the whole conversation.
Right.
So that's really good. Yeah.
And
really
I think
important.
It goes back to what you started with at the beginning of our conversation, which was that situation where we have an expectation and then it doesn't come through as that, and so then our feelings get hurt. We don't have any kind of detached, there's no spaciousness around it to really be able to hear. So, it's like trauma triggers, so we can't really hear each other anymore.
Right.
So maybe this, again, this month to really pay attention to where that comes up, and to create a little bit more spaciousness, create a pause when we speak. Because I do think that, I think, Kaylin, you might agree with me here, that with Libra, part of the shadow of Libra in speaking her truth, and I actually had a client today who was bringing this up, is the fear of being misunderstood. You know, that you speak from the heart, you speak from who you are in a vulnerable way, and then you're misunderstood. That's really hard. So, again, I think that leading with the four agreements is really, really wise when it comes to this stuff. So, okay.
Beautiful.
So the Libra Meta Goddess, she will be from January 31st until February 3rd. So a very short period of time, Venus will be in the sign of Sagittarius as she is moving through this throat chakra activation. So you could say that these, especially considering there's the conjunction, the occultation in Sagittarius, it amplifies the impact, and then it's this little short window till February 3rd that we get to activate the Sagittarius expression. So speaking truth, the relational feminine, what is her truth? So at the throat chakra gate, the relational goddess is facing and surrendering all blocks, distortions, limiting beliefs, and ancestral wounding standing in the way of her full-on self-expression of the healthy relational feminine. So Sagittarius asks, what is my truth as the relational goddess, and how has this truth been suppressed, violated, distorted over the past 5,000 years? And part of what comes through for me around this, too, is to say, we might think of Libra as being soft in some ways now because she's relational, and she is a vulnerable goddess. And at the same time, the truth of the feminine who cares most deeply about connection, the truth of the feminine who cares most deeply about relationship is a fierce truth. It is a truth that could be profoundly uncomfortable. It could be the voice that talks about disparities between between the genders or between members of different races or economic classes. It could be that voice that really makes people uncomfortable and gets under your skin. So the Libra goddess, speaking her truth, can be profoundly radical and profoundly uncomfortable in systems of hierarchy. So just to consider that. And in those personal bonds, historically, that have had a hierarchical flavor, where Kaylin and I were talking about how, you know, we've been, Libra is the feminine who has been in the marriage bond and navigating that territory, knowing that the root of marriage is that the woman is property belonging to the man. So how does she speak her truth about what authentic relationship looks like in that context? So how many times have I, the relational goddess, muted my voice to maintain the peace in relationship? How many times have I been told or believed that to be loved and maintain a bond, I must silence my truth and my inner knowing? And so finally, this month, we might feel this. We might experience this, not just the first few days, but throughout the course of this Venus throat chakra initiation. We might feel in our bodies, the grandmothers inside of us, crying out in grief and sorrow and rage for all the ways that they care so much and they could not speak their truth about what they saw happening around them that violated the bond, that violated the connection between each human being, between humanity and the creation. So in the wake of this releasing, I find my own song of love, release, and healing. So to really, really invoke her, you know, we're not just doing this individually. We're collectively channeling the Libra goddess. So just a reminder of that. So we might feel this. We're not just doing this for ourselves. Do you have anything to
right add? Right on. Just right on. As awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that when Kaylin and I were kind of going through this earlier today, that she had really brought to mind for me too, that part of why the Libra feminine has suppressed has been literally for survival reasons. And so to know that our conditioning at the level of our DNA, the epigenetics that we carry, have made it so that our conditioning can be quite deep because, again, there's that trauma that has made it so that literally if I spoke my truth as a woman to my husband, I might have been beaten to death. I might have been left for another woman and my children and I might have starved to death. You know, so literally, speaking my truth could have killed me and those I love the most. So it's to have respect for the level of fear that comes up when we want to speak our truth, because, and also for the need for us to really get in touch with the voices of these ancestral women and perhaps the relational men as well in this context that who've had their voices silenced. So the majority of the month, just going to the next slide, the Libra Meta Goddess moving through Capricorn and Aquarius at the throat chakra, Venus in Capricorn, February 3rd to March 1st. So most of the time, Venus is going to be moving through Capricorn with just like 2 days of really a potent like acupuncture point of Aquarius, like as the completion of this. So at the throat chakra gate, the relational goddess spends most of her time in the sign of Capricorn. And here she encounters ancestral wounds. Again, hearing the stories of the relational feminine throughout the last 5,000 years of patriarchy, she is actively, consciously breaking karmic bonds, any limiting agreements between masculine and feminine. She speaks the ancient truth of the pre-patriarchal relational feminine, reminding us, reattuning us to the wisdom of Jylonic love between the masculine and feminine. That's egalitarian, equal conscious partnership. And the very deep time, the much larger span of time that humanity has existed in that way. So her movement through Aquarius is a day of revolutionary awakening with the final release and the full liberation of her voice within and without. And may it be so for each of us individually and for all of us collectively, and knowing that our impact is much greater than the group that we have gathered.
Beautiful, yes, so true. And that we can support each other, one another, that men and women alike can support each other in having a more authentic voice, and not that there's someone trying to have power over others. Or when we see that happening, what can we do to shift that so that it's We don't condone it in some way, but through our action or our behavior.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're continuing on this theme of dismantling our concept of the supreme male God. And one of the things that it seems from a lot of the writings in the Bible that it's as if the supreme male God requires vocal praise as the supreme authority above all others. You will have no other gods before me, that, you know, kind of thing. And so this is something I've been really looking at. And I think, Tammy, I know you have too, and you have even I really didn't have a super strong Christian background other than I was raised in a very rural community where everybody was very Christian. And so I was exposed to it, and my grandparents on either side were pretty strongly Christian, but my parents were very much into alternative things. So I had a lot more that was available to me. And yet I found that I walked away from that experience still feeling like there was a God that was keeping his eye on me, and that if I stepped out of line, I would be punished. So interesting to me that even though I didn't have the conditioning that a lot of people do, that I still walked away with that.
It's in the field. It's in the water. We all breathe it. We all drink it. It's the root of this culture.
Right. So, like from the Psalms, now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. And this is going to be important in the next slide. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with victorious power of his right hand. And then from Psalm 75:1, we proclaim how great you are and tell of the wonderful things you have done. And then from the First Chronicles, praise the Lord, all people on earth, praise his glory and might. Like, this is how we've been conditioned. God is wise and powerful. Praise him forever and ever, from Daniel 2:20. Those are just a few that I happened to run across while I was thinking about this. And so that gets me to thinking, like, how does this infect us? Infect, like a virus, like how is this an infection in our psyche? And, you know, and that there's this egoic male God figure who's requiring praises, demanding our worship, and that if we don't, we'll be punished and sent to hell to burn forever and ever. But if we do, then, you know, all our prayers will be answered and everything will be great, and we're the elite and we're the, you know, we're the blessed ones, kind of, so to speak. You know, so there's that idea of people who then find themselves feeling superior over others because they feel like they've been given the blessings of God because of, you know, they've done whatever they were supposed to do. And a lot of that is around shaming and punishing others that they feel are less than them. So there can be that, or we can come away with the feeling, this was more mine, of being inadequate and hoping to gain salvation through obedience. Or like, if I'm good enough, if I do the right things, if I'm honest and I'm truthful and I, you know, do what I think I'm supposed to do, then somehow it'll turn around for me. I'll go to heaven or whatever it might be, you know, that might be. So just being with that question, like, are you at the effect of that? I think I'm past it, but occasionally I have heard myself say, I think God hates me. And when I've been going through a really tough time, like, I think God hates me. I'm like, is that true? Do I know that to be true? You know, is it, what, who would I be without that thought? The Byron Katie work we've talked about in the past. It's a good question to be with. Yeah. Well, and then how are we? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, or how are we great, wise, and powerful? Not to be better than others, rather to uplift and celebrate who we are and who others are as well, not that anybody's more important or less important than anybody else. So being with that question, and then what wonderful things have you done? Not for the glory and might or because others would sing your praises, but because it was the most fulfilling, satisfying, heartfelt action you could take. So it's not ego-driven. It is heart, is from the heart. It is what you, it's just what you do because you love to do that and you love to basically celebrate life and celebrate people. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Wow, yeah. So, okay, of course I have so many feelings about this. And it's so interesting because Kaylin and I also were talking about this earlier today, and I just have to say it's like the infection aspect of it. I know for myself too, absolutely what I was telling Kaylin is that when I am close to home, and now I am close to home, I'm in Missouri, and in a way that this is a really important place for me to be because I'm doing a lot of healing of this internal programming. And also I find that I have to, I've found that I actually distance myself from the masculine divine because he feels toxic to me because of this distortion. And so it's just so interesting. I think it is very different for those of us in some ways who were born into that kind of framing. And so, you know, but I think that part of it, what I was kind of speaking into with Kaylin too is I'm of both minds to be truthful about this. When I hear Psalms, I kind of love Psalms, honestly. I think they're beautiful. Like, we proclaim how great you are and tell of the wonderful things you have done. There's part of me that kind of, like, you have done, like, whether that's the goddess or the god, there's something about great mystery. There's something about source. There's something about the unifying divine presence that I love to tap into and connect to, which is something that makes me feel like I'm in awe of something amazing that's bigger than myself. So that feels like a human need to be able to tap into that, whatever that greatness is. And so, like, the other day when I was at the Ixchel Temple in Cozumel, I found myself when I was on the trail to her temple just singing and just, like, giving praises to this, the emanation of the divine that is Ixchel, that is the of the one. You know, because I do feel like there's this kind of grounding presence of the divine that is unifying, that contains each of these different threads of the masculine, of the feminine. And so for me, when I hear that now, I've been trying to let myself feel deeper into the truth of where is there truth? And because I know for a fact that there are people in congregations across the country who are, when they sing or when they pray, they are invoking something that is powerful, beautiful, but that is not soul-crushing. It's actually soul-elevating. And so, you know, so when I look at this, it's like there's something deeper here in terms of a desire for transcendent, you know, divinity, right? But then there is the infection of this one God. I'm the one God, the only God. You must worship me. The phrases that get me are, okay, his anointed, victory to his anointed, because literally what happened in the Bible, if you read the Old Testament, is that those who were not anointed were the Sumerians, for example, who were brutally killed because they worshipped Inanna. Like, literally. So, I don't know. Kaylin, I'm going way too far into this, obviously. But I just will read something really quickly that has to do with the difference between the feminine and the masculine that I just found recently that Starhawk wrote, which was that the symbolism of the goddess is not a parallel structure to the symbolism of God the Father. The goddess does not rule the world. She is the world, manifest in each of us. She can be known internally by every individual in all her magnificent diversity. And I'm not saying that there is a better than, worse than kind of expression of divine, whether it's feminine or masculine, because actually I think that it's just that the goddess has not been seen or perceived, so we have to magnify her. But that's kind of what I see with her. What I love about her is that she's in us and we feel her in us. It's a imminent experience.
And I think it's possible also with the masculine expression of the God as well, or of a, you know, of the divine essence that is maybe called God, quote unquote God.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, for some people, that's probably what they're really feeling when they're singing those songs and those praises.
Right.
And but the point being, how do we get away from this thing that it's like that if we do something wrong, we'll be punished, or if we're not in alignment in a certain way, we're going to be punished. Like, God does not punish. God, the divine, does not punish anything. You know, anything. It's like if there's this divine essence that created all the universe, then if we do something wrong, or considered whatever that judgment is, that wrong thing, that's also the divine. It's not, it right. can't be anything
exactly.
less because that was what was created. Anyway, I just want to bring in this, to follow up on this, is that we do have, you know, and we've done this in the last three meta-goddess classes that we've done, is at the throat chakra, chanting the mantra, the Sekhmet mantra, and the names of Sekhmet, and so on. And with, so it just feels like if we were going to do this, to do, and because they are like singing the praises of Sekhmet or the different aspects of the deals, but to imagine that these are your aspects, singing, saying these statements for you. It's not for something outside of you. It's like, you know, in the last, the slide number 24, it says Sekhmet, great one of magic and miracles. You could imagine that's you. You are a great one of magic and miracles.
Yeah.
You are the lady of the place of the beginning of time, or you are connected to that essence, that energy. It is inside of you. It's not outside of you. So I just wanted to say that as just something to keep in mind if that's something you choose to do this month, is to speak those names as is described in the home play and in the last few slides of presentation.
Awesome.
Yeah. So good. All right. So now we're going to complete here.
Can you tell that Venus is in Sagittarius right now and that I have a ton of Sag and Kaylin has a Sag moon? Just saying.
Right. I love it. All right. So we're on slide number 20. It's about releasing the blocks to invoking magic using our voice, because that is how many, many ancient cultures brought magic into their world, is because they would create an invocation. They, you know, they would sing, they would chant, they would find ways of connecting to the greater magic. And so part of what we want to look at is, what are the distortions? What are the limiting beliefs? What are the cultural conditionings that are that we're ready to release now, so that we can open that space for greater magic to happen in our lives? So verbally inviting magic into our lives and being willing to release anything that stands in the way of that experience is what this month is about. Singing, chanting, creating an invocation. So Tammy and I each, I've actually created this invocation, and I'll just tell you the way that you can do this is, you think about the different parts of your life where you, whatever it was, like what would have helped you to feel good in that time in your life. And so these words for me are opposite of what I felt.
Yeah.
And when you sing it, you bypass that logical left brain piece that's like, nope, 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 nope. You know, it's like, yeah, you can say that all you want, but no. And you go into a more right brain place. So you find a way to sing it. So I've been singing this. I sing this every morning before I get out of bed. And I'm not a great singer, but I'm just going to sing it for you. Basically.
Good.
I am safe, supported, accepted, and valued with love and joy. I'm safe, supported, accepted, and valued with love and joy. You can find a way to sing it. Just sing it and sing it. Oh, and I do it over and over for until I get tired or I'm done or I feel done, just because I'm really, it's like changing the cellular memory through my voice, through the singing. That's what it's about. So Tammy has hers and she's going to share it.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to try to sing. Oh, I didn't know you were actually going to sing, Kaylin. That's awesome.
You know,
because Kaylin doesn't always sing. She's so brave.
I don't.
Okay, and I'm going to be so brave. I'm going to sing with my sore voice. Okay. I am witnessed, honored, cherished, and loved for speaking my unique truth. I am witnessed, honored, cherished, and loved for speaking my unique truth. I almost like, and I want to say almost, it's like God, Goddess, like witnesses, honors, cherishes, and loves me for speaking my unique truth. You know?
Beautiful. Yeah.
Adding to that, you know, the Goddess
so
that I worship. Well.
Right? So
not
just
worship.
Encouraging
yeah.
this month, if you feel inspired and you want to have little invocation that you can sing for yourself, not for anybody else necessarily, unless you want to share it. I never thought I would ever share this because I did this like a year ago when I created this, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just singing it for me. But I got my courage on, and here we are. So, because I think it's such a great practice, and I have loved it so much.
Oh, you're so awesome. Okay, so part two of home play is, where do you tell your story? I've been finding recently, even though I have a newsletter that I write, that I keep track of, an astrological newsletter that's got a lot of personal stuff in it too. There's a lot that I experienced that really doesn't fit in that context. So I've been considering actually doing some kind of a blog lately, because I want a place that I can share where I can really bring in more of my visions and my dreams, because that's something that comes through a lot that I get so much from. So it just made me think about this wonderful, there was an interview with the late Mary Oliver. Love her so much. I know we're all sad that she's gone. I'm just so grateful for her voice. But I was listening to an interview that was done on Being. Kristen Tippett did an interview with her, and this quote stuck to me. It was where she said, "I think we're creative all day long. We have to have an appointment to have that work out on the page. The creative part of us gets tired of waiting." So I really loved that, and really thought, you know, for any of you listening, do you have a place to go where you can really speak your truth, where you can really process and use your voice first, maybe for yourself, to internally kind of gather what is true for you? So maybe that Venus journal, and you kind of do that on a regular basis. Dream journal, painting. There's been so many painting in the Facebook group, which is so awesome. Regular dates for intimate conversations with friends and loved ones. Maybe once a week you have a really good conversation. Online forums like our Facebook group. So then to ask, what habits and distractions block you from making this time to create and express a priority? And what would it take would be the next question to let go of that. So that's your home play also, if you choose to take it.
Yay, I hope people do. So now I think to begin the journeys to the Venus Temple and to the Sky Temple. So as always, be sure you have your Venus journal or something to write on, for the purpose of capturing any messages or insights that might occur during the journey. Also, do not listen to this while you're driving or doing anything that requires your full attention. And ideally, you're in some quiet, comfortable place where you won't be interrupted. Some people everybody has a different way of journeying. So if you like to move around, sway, dance, drum, rattle, you know, cover your eyes, lay down, be quiet and still, whatever works for you, we encourage you to do that. Just the main thing is you want to keep your focus and intention on the ceremonies that we're doing. And also, once we complete these journeys, then you might take a moment to just capture a couple of highlights, but we're going to go right into the Q&A. And of course, those who are listening to the replay can pause and just, you know, take all the time they need. So now we're going to begin. So with immense appreciation and gratitude for each and every one of us in our sacred circle, along with gratitude for the gifts of connection and support we've woven into our intentional field, we honor the gifts of wife's guidance and support from the circle of grandmothers and the beautiful, wisely, wonderful relational goddesses in whatever way that she may show up for you. There may be many, there may be more than one, there may be a primary one that shows up for you. Just allow yourself a moment to connect with your with the relational goddess and also your personal grandmother guide, and if you have more than one guide, your grandmother guides, all the helping spirits and allies, guardian angels, teachers who work with you, and who offer their loving support for you on this journey, and invite them to journey with you to the Venus Temple. Now you just notice before you a swirling light portal that's opening up, and this is your instant transport to the temple steps. So step through the portal, and then you will find yourself before the huge temple doors being greeted by a kind and caring temple grandmother, and she's going to begin smudging you with her fragrant ceremonial sage and her special hawk feather fan. and this will clear your energy field, preparing you to enter sacred space. So when the smudging is complete, you're invited to pass through the temple doors into the temple courtyard where the Venus altar awaits. As you enter, you're hearing the sounds of the temple fountain and noticing your Venus brothers and sisters gathering around the Venus altar. And so you move to join them, join hands, feeling yourself swaying in rhythm with all who've gathered. And you notice the wonderful smell of the fragrant blue flowers, including blue orchids, blue calla lilies, blue bonnets, blue bells, blue iris, blue morning glories, blue lit candles, illuminating blue crystals and stones that are on the altar, along with many, many sacred offerings that have been left from previous ceremonies. And as you are noticing the altar, you now are also aware of the grandmothers coming to join the sacred circle, and they're singing in sacred space. They're inviting in the great spirit that lives in all things and all the supportive beings seen and unseen who are assisting with the sacred journey. The grandmothers are singing their welcoming gratitude to the four life-giving elements: earth, our body, air, our breath, water, our feelings, fire, our energy, also representing the four directions and the four seasons. And continuing with their song, the grandmothers sing their gratitude for the mysteries of the great above, the planets and all the starry beings that support Venus on her journey from the great above to the great below and back again. And they also express gratitude for all who have gathered at the altar, acknowledging the willingness and courage it took for each of us to choose this powerful initiatory journey of death and rebirth. Gazing at the altar, you see appearing before you a kind, caring, beautiful relational goddess. She bows to you and gently places her hand on or near your throat chakra. And you feel a soothing, warm, radiant energy entering your throat area. And this energy is filled with acceptance and love focused at your throat chakra. And you know this loving, high vibrational energy is dissolving any etheric restrictions that have prevented you from speaking from the wisdom of your voice in this and all other lifetimes. So as you feel this energy moving into you, the gentle, loving, kind, caring, relational goddess before you speaks these words. Beloved one, know I am assisting you in releasing any remaining fear, doubt, or uncertainty you may still feel around creatively expressing what is yours to express. Any blocks or distortions are disintegrating in the warmth of love and appreciation for who you are and the gifts you bring simply because you are. Know that these fears or doubts were never real anyway. Know you are being invited to continue this dissolution process by practicing, chanting, or humming, remembering that sound activates your throat chakra. Also remember that simply expressing a ha breath activates the feel-good hormone known as oxytocin, calming any restlessness you may feel in your body. Conscious breathing helps to bring you present into the moment and may also activate your creative genius when you allow it. Hawing, humming, chanting, singing with intention and attention helps to further open within you the possibility of receiving a message, insight, or symbol that you can easily understand. Notice what is showing up for you. You might see it, feel it, sense it, or intuit it. You might have a thought about what it is and think it's silly. I invite you to trust whatever is coming up for you, remembering your higher self speaks to you in many ways, including through symbols, thoughts, impressions, visions, and ideas. Trust what is coming up for you, even if it doesn't make sense in this moment. Ask the part of you that knows for deeper insights and consider using your voice by sharing your message with our Venus Circle, either during the Q&A or later on Facebook. So once you have the essence of your personal throat chakra message, express your gratitude for the relational goddess and how she has helped you to receive this message in whatever way works for you. And as this part of the ceremony comes to completion, be sure to express appreciation and gratitude to the grandmothers and all your guiding spirits as you prepare to return through the temple doors and get ready to continue your journey on to the Sky Temple.
And now once again, from the steps of the Venus Temple, you look up to see the winding path leading into the deep and ancient forest. Once again, you follow the winding path and you smell the scent of pine. You once again see and connect with these great and ancient trees as you have so many times before. And as you walk, you might hear the sound of a wren. As you walk, the already darkening forest continues to darken until you can barely see the path in front of you. And now, suddenly, in front of you, you see the beginning of a light coming through the darkness. And this light is the light of the full moon. And you follow the cast of this, the path of this light until it leads you again to the clearing under what is now the dark sky that is also illuminated not only by the bright stars, but by the full moon. And as you step into the clearing, you find yourself once again standing before the deep pool of water with lotus blossoms blooming along the edges. And you see the reflection of fireflies. Once again, you see in the distance a glowing spiraling staircase. And you approach this spiraling staircase and make your way up this stairway and up into the sky, up into the bank of clouds, once again opening up into the Sky Temple. And once again, you feel and experience and take a moment to truly connect with the pulsing, alive energy of this Sky Temple, of the sky above, of the pulsing stars, of the great goddess Nut arched over you, of each of the planets, and of Venus and the moon, which are poised just in front of you between the two great columns of stone. And as you stand here and as you gaze upon Venus and the moon, you see their approach, and you see how they come together. And when they do, they fuse, and they create a bright light of many, many colors. And this light becomes enlarged. And as you look into this light, you see now the shape of a woman. You see the shape of a goddess. And this goddess now takes full form, and she descends, and she appears before you. And once again, you see this beautiful Libra goddess, this relational goddess who you had already met at the Venus Temple. But this time, as you gaze upon her eyes, and as you once again feel this emanation of deep peace, of inner harmony, of unity, you understand that this energy that she carries also belongs to you. You understand that this experience of inner congruence, this experience of being fully in a place of heart-centered connection to all life, this also lives in you. And as you still continue to gaze upon her and feel the unconditional love, the great heart that she is and that she embodies, you now see that her shape begins to change and the features of her face also are changing. And suddenly you see within her a female relative, one of your mother, an aunt, a grandmother, perhaps an ancestor you did not know but who is now showing up for you, one of those feminine figures from your life and from your lineage who carried the Libra qualities imperfectly, yes, but who did carry this tremendous love and great heart and a fierce dedication to maintaining connection, to maintaining true heart-centered connection and love. So open for a moment to let this human goddess appear before you. And take a moment now also to hear whatever message this woman has for you, because she wants to speak to you about what her experience has been and what your experience can now be. And so now she gazes upon you with so much love in her eyes, and you know that she knows deeply the experiences you've had where you've shut down your truth. She knows those times where you have not said what was in your heart because you feared that if you said it, you would no longer be loved. You feared that if you said it, that your marriage might be broken. You feared that if you said it, that your relationships might be in some way harmed. You feared at some level of your being that you might not be safe. And she knows those times, and she says to you, beloved child, what I have experienced and what my grandmothers, what my mothers have experienced in the realm of relationship has naturally shut down our throats. And she puts her hand on her throat and she says, there is weeping, there is raging, there is sorrow, there is grief. All this also lives in you. Allow yourself to feel this. Allow yourself to know that this also lives in you, and also allow yourself to free yourself, to liberate yourself, because now, in this lifetime, you have the opportunity to transform. You have the opportunity to clear. You have the opportunity to let go and to release fully all of those, that armoring, all of those blocks, all of those limitations that we held, your female ancestors held and had to hold for our own survival. And now, as she says this, you feel and experience the constriction at your throat. You feel maybe almost like it feels like it literally is an armoring. And she stretches her hand out, and it's very warm. And she literally takes this armoring, and she removes it from your throat. And when she does, she puts her hand on your throat, and you feel the warmth of her hand. And you feel this ignition, this igniting. And it's as if a flame has been lit in your throat. And this flame is the flame that has been passed down through every generation. Beneath your mother, your grandmother, there have been other ancestors. And this is the fire that has been once again, for the first time, relit in you fully from those grandmothers, even more ancient than those that you knew, the ones who spoke their truth with ease, the ones who spoke their truth with grace, the ones who spoke fiercely about the need for us to maintain the bond and the connection with our own truth, our own authenticity, and from there, to honor the authenticity and the integrity of the other. And so as you feel that flame now in your throat, you feel the clearing, you feel the releasing, and you know now that you will not be the same. And you now take the hands of this beloved ancestor, and you give gratitude to her. And now you put your forehead against her forehead because you know that you are one. You know that you are connected. You know that both of you, both ways, you carrying the seeds of the future and she carrying the seeds of the past, are here to heal one another. And so you are, and so it is. And as you give gratitude to her now, you say goodbye, and you now prepare yourself, and you now go back down the spiral staircase, down into your body, down into the present moment, down into the room, bringing all of yourself back into this conversation, down and in to the room, and your Sky Temple journey and your Venus Temple journey are complete. And so now you might take a moment to write anything down that you wish to remember as we begin to open the Q&A. So just to jot down anything you want to remember for later, and you can write the whole thing down after we're complete.
Beautiful, and we're just going to jump right into the Q&A because we've got like 6 minutes before at our hour. So
we found our throat.
Yeah, we did. Who knew? So Star 6 will put you in the queue. We'd love to hear from you if you have questions, comments, insights, ahas. And as a shaman friend of from way back when, who used to come to shamanic astrology events, used to say, screams of outrage. we'll take it all. Anyway, so Star 6, and that'll put you in. And if we don't get anybody, then we may just be wrapping this up a little bit early. So nobody yet. So if you have any inspiration at all, I'd love to have you jump in. Awesome. Okay. I think this might be Faye, am I right?
Yes, hi.
Yay.
Hi, how are you? Yes. I don't have a question. I just have a comment. I thought this was a absolutely awesome episode. it was so good. I'm so enjoying all of this. And I've had moments where I've had real fear speaking recently in groups, and it's something I really just want to work more with. So I feel so supported in this group. I feel so grateful and blessed to have met you guys in this fashion, and all the people who are, I feel them. I feel everybody, and it is exponentially. It's like a pillow. It's a supportive, loving pillow, and it's so wonderful. So I've had a lot of images just come up, and I've written some things down, and I'm going to try to be sharing more on the Facebook forum. But thanks so much. I don't really have a question. I just want to tell you how much I really enjoy the effort that you both put into this, and it is really changing my life, and it's really wonderful. Thank you so much.
Wow, Faye.
Wow. You're amazing.
You never have a question if you want to tell us how great we are.
Yeah. I mean, I probably have a zillion questions, but I just was like, hey, I don't have a question, but I'm going to make a comment. And I have to just say this. I think it was really great that you both sang your little chants. I had just an ear-to-ear smile when you were doing that. You are setting a very good example, and I just think it is difficult for lots of people, women in particular, to find their voice. And what you're providing in this way is just so important right now. It's just so, so important, and it's just very important. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Faye.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hey, all my mothers.
Yeah,
pardon
we got
me?
A couple more people. Yeah. We've got a couple more people we're going on. So I don't know who this is, but you can tell us. Hello? I just unmuted
the
mic.
Hi, can you hear me now, Kaylin? Hi, Kaylin?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, Kate. Hi, Tammy.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Sorry, I had myself muted.
I
wanted to echo what Faye was saying. What a great call, and I'm so glad I made it live because I don't usually get that opportunity.
Yes.
And you really explained something that happened to me last night. I was with my family. I had a cousin visiting from out of town. So we were a bunch of women all just sitting around talking. And one of my cousins asked me about vaccinations and what I'd done with my children. And this led into a very, intense, I would say, discussion, to put it politely, about vaccines. And I got really worked up about it. And I realized afterwards the reason I got worked up wasn't so much over vaccination, but it was more like just being shamed for not following, what you're supposed to do. And I started thinking about that, like how important it is just to support people who don't follow the quote-unquote herd and just do their own thing, because really it takes so much courage to speak out or act out, like, against what everyone is doing. And we need just examples of that in our society, because if we don't have that, if we can't support people, that little, like, what is it, 1 or 2% that don't act like other people do, I mean, then we won't have the heroes that we've had throughout history. Those are always been people who have acted out of their own, you know, own values, own integrities, against what other people were doing most of the time. So it really, I don't know, it really made me think that I need to support what anyone says, like whether I agree with it or not. It just really support them in their own in their own way of being, and not be afraid that if someone's like saying something different than what I think or acting a different way, that somehow that's going to affect my own security. Because I felt that was coming up. You know, like if I don't vaccinate my children, then I'm putting other kids at risk. But that's not really true, because if everyone else is vaccinated, then I'm really only putting my own children at risk. So anyway, you've really sparked this thing in my head. Now I'm thinking, wow, it's really big, and I really hope that I can respect people
more in that way, and like, and also, you know, stand in my own truth more and speak it more, but maybe in a more polite way than I probably did last night. I think I was a bit sad.
I still love what you're saying, Kate, because I did not vaccinate my children either, and I faced exactly the same issues. And in fact, stopped going to the pediatrician because he was shaming me and trying to bully into vaccinating my kids. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm bringing my kids to UCU anyway, because they're healthy. And you know, you're trying to shame me into a monthly thing, whatever. And I just stopped doing it. And I also sometimes, because I felt like a lot of kids, and there's a lot of research that shows a lot of kids are so unhealthy because they've been vaccinated. And whenever I would try to share that point of view, I would just get so much backlash. So,
right. Yeah, and it is the shame. It's the shaming, right? Like, we shame people when they don't toe the party line, so to speak.
Right.
And so, like, it's just so hard to do that because it's sort of like we're indoctrinated to shame people.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're a culture of shaming. Yes.
Yeah, yes. We really are, you know. And I think, and I was thinking about, like, the sort of the herd mentality. So we are in a herd. We like to herd because it's safety, right? But if
right.
one person wants to leave the herd, well, then they're just putting themselves at risk. You know, they're not really putting the herd at risk. But I think it brings up everyone's shadow around security and the fears around it, just seeing someone else leaving the herd.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and how many other ways does this happen? You know, how many, you know, like, if we're doing something different that's not part of what is the traditional path, right?
Yeah.
That we're expected to take. And then, or maybe we are going down that path and maybe we feel like we're being shamed by somebody who isn't. So there, it can go both ways.
Right. Right. Yeah. 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 True. So, like, respect for everyone's, you know, choice and whatever they say, like, just it's their life. And, you know,
right.
I really want to be in that, so I'm really appreciating all the talk about, you know, just really listening, really, really just listening, and leaving it kind of at that.
Yeah. What a different world we live in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you very much. Awesome, awesome call.
Thank you, Kate. And I just want to say congratulations for having the courage to not vaccinate your kids. I think you did them a great service. And
I didn't fully not vaccinate them because I started in the system, but then I pulled them out of the system. So they're sort of vaccinated. Yeah. But I do get, you know, I get now regularly these forms to fill out, and I have to tell the school what they've done, and I keep on saying, well, no, 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 and I'm waiting for the day when they come down on me. And I feel actually really sorry for the parents, younger parents with younger children, because it's getting more and more and more and more strict.
You know,
so the choice is really being taken out of parents' hands.
It is. One of the things I could do was I could opt out based on philosophical belief, and I don't think that's an option.
I don't think it is either. I don't think so. I mean, I'm up in Canada, but we don't have that option.
Right. Well, it was an option back in the 80s and 90s. I don't know anymore. And they would also, and they would try to tell you, like, well, if there's an outbreak, then your children won't be allowed to come to school because they're not vaccinated.
Right.
You know, like, they'd get really hot. I'm like, okay, I will take that risk.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Right. Oh, my God. Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Kate.
You, Kate.
So courageous.
So that's everybody in the queue. So, and we're at our time. So I think we'll just maybe wrap this up. And I imagine you might have a couple things to say, Tammy, but I just hope everyone has the most transformative possible throat chakra month, and that we all find a new level of expressing our voice and singing, even if we sing out a key like I do, or whatever. So that's anything you want to say, Tammy, to wrap this up?
Oh, just ditto, and just it just feels like it's going to be a really big month for us, and I just so grateful that we can amplify the effect of what we're doing personally and collectively. And I feel really very, very positively about all the transformation and looking forward to and imagining our next conversation and imagining all the Facebook conversations and the emails that we'll get that really speak to the profound transformations people are experiencing and really speaking, you know, from the heart and speaking their truth and also actively listening and being a force for creating a more civil and a more open and a more heart-centered culture. So
yes, yes. Well said. Yes. All right.
Yay. Okay.
We'll call next month or we'll hear you or something. Bye, everyone.
Bye.